said that, I'm gonna call him, Brother Rob, you lead us in a word.
Well, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, God, just thanking you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Yes. Knowing that we don't deserve any of it, God, but you should so graciously give it, Lord.
Yes.
God, we just want to take this time and not overlook the value of today, God. What it means in our life and in our hearts, God, the eternity that is today, God, because of a risen Savior, God. You didn't stay in the grave, but you got out on the third day, God.
Amen.
Because of a risen Savior, God, we have hope. We have peace. We have grace in grace in the world that is just full of turmoil and trials, God. We're just so thankful this morning, God. God, we're so thankful for this church, for Liberty Hill, what she means in our life, God, the values that we learned at such a young age. God, we ask that we never forget them, that they always go with us, Lord. God, today as the message comes, Lord, you just give him grace and mercy. God, give him the fullness of the Spirit. Just fill him up, God. Give him what he stands in need of this morning. God, if there's anybody that has a part in the service, just give them the unction and the freeness of the Spirit, God. Be with the song service. Be with those that would have anything to do. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Look to page 368. He lives. He lives.
Spirit.
red book out. Look at page 272. 272. 272. I think you gotta stand up. We gotta sing this song, standing up. You can't. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace.
Oh.
so good. That is so good. Does anybody have a word you'd like to share?
Brother Chris, Brother Wayne, I'd like you to sing that special. What was it, Brother Chris, that
I'd rather have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus. If you please, you do that.
I give it a try. I don't know if I can do it.
Happy Lord.
Wayne, I will say that I thank the Lord for being here today.
Amen.
I need your prayers.
Amen. We pray for you, God. We pray for you.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen. It's good to see you. Good to see you. I'd rather have Jesus than anything in the world.
Pray for a big crowd to come to church, and then when they come, the Lord said, "Now what you gonna do?"
Amen.
But boy, I'm thrilled to look and see every one of y'all here today on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. The Lord has just blessed, and Brother Chris, I appreciate you teaching our Sunday school lesson and opening up your heart, and just those of you that didn't get to be here for Sunday school, Brother Chris just he taught out of Romans, and he gave some personal experiences that just touched my heart.
Amen.
And I appreciate that. I really do. And love each one of you today. Glad you're here. And it's good to see all these youngins. Did we have a penny march?
We didn't even have our penny marks.
We didn't even have penny marks, did we?
I forgot our penny marks.
That's okay. We can have it.
We can have it. We still have it.
Yeah.
At the end. We have
at the end? Okay, we'll have it at the end. I got thinking about that. I said, I didn't see all the kids coming up here. But I'm glad you're here today, and I want you to know that whatever the need is, we all got needs. We all do. I'm as saved as I can be. The old saying is, I could swing out over hell hanging on noodle. But I'll tell you this, I've got needs in my life. I've got needs to grow closer to the Lord. And we've all got needs. But I want to tell you, if you're here today and you've got the need of salvation today, you need to be saved, I want to assure you that He'll save you. If you want it, if you want it and you believe, He'll save you today. So I want to encourage you, don't leave here with a need in your life, but I want you to give in to whatever God would have you to do. I told them this morning during the sunrise service, the sun was coming up pretty over the fields out there, and I just got to kind of meditating on that, and I thought that the pasture down below was the cattle had it grazed down clean, and it just looked like everything was neat. The trees, everything was neat. And I had to remind myself that we live in a cursed world. I saw that, and I told them out there, I said, I didn't want to lose track that looking at God's beauty, that there was evil all around. I didn't want to lose track of that, that there's people hurting, there's people, just everything going on in this world today. But as I looked at that sun coming up so pretty, and if the Lord tarries His coming, we're going to see a pretty sunset. We will. And but I got to looking at that, and I thought, if I live in a cursed world, which I believe I do, the Bible teaches that I do, how beautiful heaven must be.
Amen.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Have you ever been in the Smoky Mountains in October and seen the color? That's in a cursed world. That's in a cursed world. Can you imagine what heaven has in store for them that love them? I'd love to preach about heaven today, but the Lord gave us some scripture to read, and I thought, Lord, please, not on Easter. not on Easter Sunday. I said, Lord, we need to be preaching about Your resurrection today, after all. And but I'm not going to argue with God. We're just going to try to read that He would have us to read, and hope that it will have its abode where it needs to fall. And if you'll turn in your Bible to St. Matthew, I'd love to call the names of all the visitors today, but I couldn't begin to. So I just want to thank y'all all for being here. And if you're here with your families that are members here, they so much appreciate you being here today. But over in St. Matthew, chapter 19, I want to read to us a very familiar passage of Scripture about where Jesus encounters the rich young ruler. Some of the Gospels call Him a rich young ruler. Some call Him a young man. But we'll read to you here in the 19th chapter. And let me begin in the 14th verse. Right before this scripture I'm fixing to read to you, there were some children that came to Jesus, some children. The disciples, the way I understand it, went over there and in other words, just said, scat, y'all get out of here. I believe that's what they said. And they were busy with Jesus, and Jesus was busy, and to them, He didn't have no time to be fooling with those children. But He says in the 14th verse, He says, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And He laid His hands on them and departed thence. Boy, you know, the disciples, every so often when they thought they was doing Jesus a favor, they found out they didn't know what they were doing, did they?
Yeah.
Amen.
Bless
you. Amen. But we go on here and we read in the 16th verse, and it said, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, this was a very good question. A very good question that was asked. I've heard preachers say in reading this scripture, there's not a better question we could ask than what must we do to inherit eternal life? I wish more people were concerned about what they should do to inherit eternal life. I remember the Philippian jailer over there. He told Paul and Silas, or asked them, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" So if there's ever a good question to be asked, the question of how to avoid hell must be the most important. It must be. And so we see here, and this young man comes to, and the reason that I say that he was probably a very polite young man, he had done well for himself. One of the scriptures said that he was rich, he was a ruler, and and I take it that he wasn't a smart aleck type. I take it that when he came up to Jesus there, he came with a serious question. He was concerned. He was concerned about the rest of his life. He was concerned about eternity. So he asked the all-important question, and who better could he go to but God himself? And he went to Jesus, and he said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Jesus was just going to leave it there, wasn't he? He said, to enter into life, keep the commandments. But there was something bothering this young man. He said unto him, "Which? Which commandment?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus didn't give him all the commandments that Moses wrote, did he? But he gave him some here. The young man saith unto him, "All these things I kept from my youth up." But he said, "What lack I yet?" Something was still bothering him, wasn't it? Yes. Something was still bothering him. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I don't know about y'all, but I believe when you get under conviction, you get godly sorrow about you. I believe you do. I believe you have some sorrow that comes about you. And the Bible said that he went away sorrowful. And I want to preach to us just for a few minutes on the simple thought, something missing. And I want you to think about that just for a few minutes. We can see folks out in the world that are going around murdering and molesting children and doing all these horrible things, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to let us know that they ain't right. They just ain't right. But there's also people who pay their taxes on time, that raise their children up, educate them, give them food and shelter. They may even mow their neighbor's yard. Looking at them, they're good citizens. Yes. And a lot of them are the type that if you had to go somewhere and you had young kids, you would not feel uncomfortable leaving your kids there with them. because you've just seen them. You've just seen them enough and know them enough that you trust them. And I kind of feel like that this young man might have been something like that. I feel like he was not a troublemaker. I feel like that, he said, I've kept these commandments. Evidently, he honored his father and his mother, hadn't murdered nobody. I wonder about the one, though, where he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. It kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Yeah. Kind of makes you wonder. But as we begin to look and think about this, evidently there was something missing in this young man's life. You know, I would like to think, when you read the scripture and these characters in the Bible, this man went away sorrowful. I think he went away heartbroken. I think he went away sorry that he didn't feel like he met the conditions to go to heaven. Now you might say, well, wish he would have had. Maybe he did. Maybe later on in God's word, somewhere down the line, he did. Now, I can't find any record of this young man ever coming back to the Lord to be saved. But I wrote this scripture down, and it gave me some hope for him. In John 21st chapter, it says that there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Right.
Do you realize that from Genesis to Revelation, we're only getting what God sent? And it's enough. It's enough. I have a hard enough time trying to decipher some things in here. I don't need any more chapters to try to read. But do you know that if everything that he did, the 30 some odd years that he walked upon this earth, was recorded in the Bible, that the writer over here says he supposes that the world could not contain the books that would be written? So maybe, just maybe, this young man somewhere came back, got some love in his heart, got some charity in his heart, and got saved. Boy, I'd like to think that. I really would. And I'm gonna die hoping he did. I really am. And if he didn't, I don't want the Lord to tell me that he didn't. How about that? But I got some good news for us today. If you're here today and you're lost and undone without God, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's good news. Amen. You've got time.
Amen.
You've got time. Preacher, do I have 2 o'clock? I wouldn't bank on it. Preacher, what kind of time do I have? Today is the day of salvation. Those devils say you ain't ready. You ain't ready. There's certain things you got to do. You got a plan you got to do to get ready for this.
Thank you, Lord.
Anytime I try to plan out something that I'm going to do over here at the church, you get a sound. I've learned you just follow the leadership. Right. But there was something missing in this young man's life. Belinda every so often will cook something, and most of the time it's if she's cooking something that a group of people or a crowd are going to be eating. If I'm eating it, she don't mind that much, but a lot of folks are going to be eating it. She wants to make sure that it's good. And she'll take a spoon and she'll dip it out, and she'll give me a taste, and she'll say, how does this taste? And I'll say, it tastes good. I like it. But she will do it. And by the way, we don't put spoon back in there. But
She'll do it, and she'll say, "Just something missing." There just, you ladies do that sometimes. Just something missing. She wanted that, me, that whatever she was fixing, to be good. She wanted to hear some bragging on it. And so she was trying to find what was missing in it that it needed. But I'm gonna tell you something today. No matter how good a life we live, no matter how educated we are, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're missing the main ingredient.
Amen.
You're missing the main ingredient. It would be so sad for somebody, and it's sad for anybody to die and go to hell. I've heard people say, back before I got right with God, I would say, "Oh, well, that person over there, hell ain't hot enough for him." Oh, it is. It is. And I don't say that anymore. I don't say that anymore. I wouldn't say that to my worst enemy. When I was growing up, we would read in school, we'd read about Adolf Hitler. And I thought, what a wicked, evil man. I thought to myself, is hell ain't hot enough for him? Oh, it is. Oh, it is. So as we begin to look, have you ever been at a point in life where maybe things are going good, things are working out for you, but somewhere in the back of your mind, the back of your heart, there's just something missing. Just something missing. Jesus sends his convicting spirit to a heart, and he touches it, and he draws. You will have that sense of something missing in your life. God bless you. You'll have that. I had it. Boy, growing up, I didn't have a worry in the world. I had good parents, good home. I wasn't concerned about what was going on in Vietnam. Didn't know that much about it. My parents were, but I wasn't. So I was just happy-go-lucky. I knew I had food on the table. I knew what I liked to do, and I could do those things. But one day I realized something was missing the day in my life.
Yes,
I did. Something's missing. The devil would say, "Oh, look, you've got everything you need." And physically I had everything I needed. Everything I needed. Something was missing. What do you think Jesus was talking about when he told this young man? He said, "If thou want to be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me." What do you think he meant? Do you think he meant for him to go and liquidate everything he had and follow him? There were some that did. Didn't have as much as this young man did, but I figure Peter and Matthew and a bunch of them, they kind of forsook what they had and followed him. But what do you think Christ meant when he told him to do that? I've always thought to myself, if that was the requirement to miss hell, I would gladly start putting for sale signs on everything that I've got. I would. Gladly. Because, see, I wouldn't want to die and go to hell. But that's not the requirement.
Right.
Let me read to you what's written about charity. In 1 Corinthians, this is what Paul said to the church at Corinth. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing."
Amen.
Nothing. What he was trying to get to this across to this young man is, you don't have love in your heart.
Right.
You're a good boy, You've kept yourself clean all your life.
Amen, Lord.
But you don't have love in your heart. Amen. Until you come to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, we don't know what love is.
Amen.
Oh, man. Brother Kenneth Adams, and I'll never forget it. You know there's things that preachers say down through your life, and some of it just goes over your head. You don't think more about it. But every so often, Brother Robbie, there's something that the man of God will say that sticks with you.
Yes.
Brother Kenneth Adams was preaching one time, and he said, when I married my wife, Gail, and he don't mind me telling this. I told him the other day that it comes up every now and then. He said, when I married my wife, Gail, he said, I thought I loved her. When he said that, it hurt my heart. He said, when I come to know Jesus as my Savior, then I knew love. Then I knew love. I've got dogs that'll get together there at the house and they don't care 2 cents for one another. That's nature. That's just nature. Somebody says, well, I love my kids. Nature teaches that.
Come on.
Nature teaches that.
Come on, preacher.
To take care of your children. Mama dog will have them puppies. And she'll guard those puppies, she'll feed them. And then when they get about 7 weeks old, she don't care what you do with them. She don't. She wants them out. We wouldn't do our kids that way because we've got a soul. And we've got the love of God down in our heart. Amen. I told them the other day at the church, and I know I use farm animals a lot, but I can relate to that. And I had an old cow dropped a calf during that real cold weather when it was so cold a month or so ago. I mean cold. And it was dead. And she was standing there over just bellowing and bellowing and bellowing. And I went up there, what's she carrying on about? And I went out there and there it was, just dead as a hammer. Looked healthy, but it was dead. She was away from other cows, and she was just tore up about that calf. I took the calf and buried it. Went and filled the front end loader up with corn. And I dumped it over there in the pasture, and she forgot all about what she'd done. See, what I'm trying to get across to you is their nature. They're just nature. She got over that and ain't bothered her since. But you and I have a living soul.
Amen. That's right.
And we've got to come to a point in our life where we're going to accept salvation or whether we're going to turn it away. I've got friends that will do anything in the world for you. They will. I could call them, and they'd come, and they'd help me. Good people. I call them good people. But I'm worried about what's happening to them when they die. I really am. I really am worried about it. Especially when I read about this young man who kept all these things from his youth up. But something was missing. Something was missing. And I realize this is not the kind of shouting message that you may have expected on Resurrection Day. But there's folks that need the Lord.
Amen.
Need the Lord. Amen. I'm afraid too many times we concentrate on, we look at people and see what they're doing. And we think to ourselves, boy, that person needs the Lord. A lot of times it don't take a rocket scientist. But there are some people who are good people. But they got something missing. The reason that I said this about some friends of mine, and I love, I do, is that they'll do anything in the world for me. But if I get down and start talking about Jesus Christ and being born again, they begin to sweat and they begin to change the subject. See, something's missing. Something's missing. If I go over here to Brother Greg Hammack, start talking about Jesus, he'll start talking back to me about it. Because he knows him. But Jesus knew that there was something missing in this young man's life. In this young man's life.
Yes.
You can't work. We can't work our way. What did he say there? If we bestow all of our goods, that means everything, to feed the poor, and we offer our body to be burnt, and have not charity, your charity is, it's love. And we have not charity, we have nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
Right.
You see, before I got saved, I didn't care much about my neighbor's business. I didn't. It was all about me. That was my natural instinct. It was all about me. What's going to make me happy?
Yes.
But maybe when he put his love and charity down in my heart, it's more about my neighbor than it is me now.
Yeah.
It is. It is. And every so often I'll get carnal-minded, Brother Bobby. If I'm not careful, it'll start being all about me again. If I'm not careful,
bless you, Lord.
And I look around and I see that my neighbor's got a need. One of them asked him, said, "Who is my neighbor?" Trying to trick him.
Yeah.
Please don't tell me, Jesus, that somebody of another ethnic group has to be my neighbor. That's what they were basically saying to him. He gave him the example of the Good Samaritan. But without love and without charity in our heart, we can't know God without that. I just don't believe we can. And I believe what it'll do is it will make you love everybody. Give me that old-time religion.
Amen.
It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. It's not religion that makes me love everybody. It's the Lord that makes me love everybody.
Yes.
Amen. 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 So I want to ask you, is there something missing in your life? Well, preacher, we all got a little something missing. I agree. But is you got something missing in your life that's bothering you? Maybe you hadn't told anybody. Maybe you hadn't talked about it because things are going so good around you. But do you have something in your life that's missing?
Yes.
That's missing. The older I get, the more I want more people to have what I have. I want them to have what you have, Brother Bobby.
That's it.
I do. Because you see, not only does it save souls from hell, but it'll make you a better person. It'll do it. It'll make you a better person. It'll make you, in society, a contributor to society. Amen? It'll make you want to go out and win others to the Lord. It's kind of like a chain reaction. It'll make you want to go lead others to the Lord. There's a gospel song, and I'm going to find out who sang it, because it comes on the radio now again. But the name of it is The Absence of Love. And it talks about, it gives some scenarios of why things are the way they are, and goes to the chorus and says, because of the absence of love.
Do you know why families are being busted up today? Just faster than we can try to put them back together? Do you know why that's happening? Because the absence of love and charity. I believe today that we can't love without God. Without Jesus in our heart, we don't know what love is. Hollywood talks a lot about love. It kind of amuses me. Love, love, love. And all them folks wouldn't know Jesus. Put my feet on a solid rock and he established my goings. He changed the way I thought. It went from all about me. And I can tell there's folks in this church, amen, that it went from all about them to all about their neighbor. It did. I've seen some of y'all put legs on your prayers. But that's what God will make you want to do. The Pharisees and the scribes had all kinds of, and I appreciate the teaching that Brother Chris did. The Pharisees and the scribes had all kind of legal traditions and rituals that they felt in their heart and mind that they were pleasing God with. If we're not careful, we'll get the same way.
Amen.
It's not by works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
But I believe that when he puts that love down in your heart, it'll make you want to go to work. It will. It will. Pam, you remember me saying that I'd ask my mom when I was little, I didn't like going to church, and I'd say, Mama, do you have to go to church to be saved? And Lord, in all of her godly wisdom, she said, no, but if you're saved, you'll want to go to church. And boy, that bothered me. That bothered me. Because I didn't like church. And I want to go to heaven. God took care of that. God took care of that. I love each and every one of you here today. I'm so glad you're here. But I feel like some of you's got something missing. And I don't know what it is. And I don't know what it is. But if you're missing Jesus Christ in your life, you're missing the whole reason you were born.
Right.
The whole reason you were created and born. You're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. God had a plan for you. And in his plan, that's why we're celebrating today Easter. In his plan was for him to come to earth, preach his own everlasting gospel, die on Calvary's cross, be buried, and resurrected on the third day. That was all in his plan.
Amen.
And that plan was put together because of you and I today. Whosoever will, yellow, black, or blue, or white, they are precious in God's sight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come give us a song. Amen. If everybody will stand.
488. 488. Told anybody.
that the Lord saved you. Bible teaches us that we need to testify to that. We need to tell somebody. Tell mama, daddy, or somebody. Tell the church that you got born again. Maybe you just need to tell somebody that everything's all right with you. That you found the Lord. He found you. Amen. Think about it. Preachers today, I'm just speaking to myself, are not quite as tough as some of the old preachers before. Brother Andrew Oden married so many people in Blount County over the years, lived to be 105. And a couple came to him one time and asked him to marry him, and he did what most preachers do. He had them come down and sit down in his living room and talk to him before he agreed to marry him. And he asked him, he said, "Has either one of you been saved?" And the young lady had. The young man shook his head. Brother Andrew said, "You know there's something that you need more than a wife? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And I just want you to marry us. You need Jesus." He had something missing. Had everything for that wedding. Everything they done. Sure, all the it'll be beautiful. It's all planned out. But how sad if they were killed in an automobile accident and a wife goes to heaven and you go, "Hey, how sad that would be." So he told him, "You need the Lord more than you need a wife." And I'll say this. Brother Wayne sang that song. And he needs him more than anything. You need the Lord more than anything in your life. Sing one more verse. I'm going to hush. Whatever you need to do, is there something missing in your church life? Is there something missing in your family that needs to be straightened out? Whatever that it might be, why don't you come ask God, and He'll show you. Go ahead.